Have you ever really looked up at the night sky and just wondered how many stars are actually up there? I mean, people say our Milky Way galaxy alone has over 100 billion stars. It's just
It
huge.
is. Or think about grains of sand on all the world's beaches. It's almost impossible to grasp, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And these giant numbers, they're not just out in space or on beaches. They're everywhere. Global population, internet data, it's constant.
And that's really what we're jumping into today. Think of this as maybe a shortcut to getting comfortable with these really, really big numbers.
Shortcut. I like that.
Yeah, because it's not just about counting, right? It's about understanding the scale, being able to, make sense of global news or scientific discoveries. It's about feeling informed.
Okay, so our mission for this deep dive is basically to recap things, get you feeling confident with large numbers.
Precisely. Reading them, writing them, understanding what they mean, and even using them day to day.
We're talking the whole journey then, from the different systems people use right through to doing math with them and estimating.
That's the plan. A full toolkit for tackling numerical
All
giants.
right, so we learn numbers as kids, five digits, maybe six.
Yeah.
But then you hit these massive figures, billions, trillions. How did humans even develop ways to think about numbers that big? Our brains don't naturally picture a billion things, do they?
That's a great question. And no, not really. Our intuition kind of taps out. Historically, it was a real challenge. Early counting systems got very clumsy with large amounts.
Right.
But then you had these huge leaps, particularly from the Indian subcontinent. The invention of zero shunya was absolutely revolutionary.
Zero. Can't imagine math without it.
Exactly. And alongside that, the decimal place value system, our base 10 system, this idea that a digit's value depends entirely on its position. Mathematicians like Aryabhatta and Brahmagupta were key figures here.
So they laid the groundwork.
They really did. And interestingly, familiar terms like lakh and crore actually come straight from ancient Sanskrit. It shows how deeply rooted these concepts are.
That history is fascinating. And it leads us right into the Indian system of numeration, doesn't it? Because when you get past thousands, you need, well, better labels.
You do. You need ways to chunk the information. So in India and nearby regions, they use lakh, which is 100,000, 1,000,000.
Okay, one followed by five zeros.
Right. And then crore is 10 million. That's one followed by seven zeros or 1,000,000.
Got it. And the commas are different too, right? That's key.
Very key. You put the first comma after three digits from the right, same as usual, but then it's every two digits. So let's take a number like 5,067,089,123.
Okay, three from the right, then two, then two.
Exactly. And you'd read that as a five core, 67 lakh, 89,123. It groups it differently.
Five core, 67 lakh.
Yeah.
Okay, I see the pattern. Now, how does that compare to the international system? That's the one most of the world uses, yeah.
Yes, that's the globally dominant system. And it keeps things maybe a bit more consistent in its grouping. It always uses groups of three.
Always threes.
Always threes. So you have thousands, then millions, that's one with six zeros, 1 million, then billions with nine zeros, 1 million, and trillions after that.
And the commas reflect that.
Perfectly. Commas go after every three digits, moving from right to left. So if we took a number representing a similar value, say 567,891,234.
Okay, commas after the 234 and after the 891.
Right. You'd read that as 567,891,234. See the difference? Millions, not crores and lakhs.
Definitely. So let's nail down the key comparisons. 1 million is 10 lakhs.
Exactly. 1 million equals 10 lakh.
And 1 crore is 10 million.
Correct. One crore equals 10 million. It's worth pausing on that, you know?
Yeah.
Why did these two distinct systems stick around?
Yeah, I was wondering that. Is one system better for certain things? Like maybe the Indian system's two-digit grouping feels more natural for population figures in that region, while the three-digit international style is better for, say, global science.
That's a really insightful point. The international system definitely wins for global standardization, science, finance, tech. It needs that consistency.
Makes sense.
But for people who grew up with it, the Indian system's 3-2-2 comma pattern can actually make reading large figures like population or government budgets feel more intuitive because those amounts are often discussed in lakhs and crores anyway. It's like cultural shorthand.
So not necessarily better or worse overall, just different tools shaped by different contexts.
I think that's a good way to put it. Cultural context shapes how we intuitively process numbers.
Okay, so regardless of the system, Indian or international, the fundamental power comes from each digit having a specific value based on where it sits. This is a place value, right? Can we break down the difference between that and face value? Sometimes they get mixed up.
Sure. Face value is super simple. It's just the digit itself. What you see is what you get. In, say, 3,045,678, the face value of the 5 is just 5.
Okay, easy enough.
But place value is the clever part. It's the digit's worth because of its position. So that same 5 harn in 3,045,678 isn't just 5, it's in the thousands place. So its place value is 5 times 1,000, which is 5,000.
Right. Location gives it its power.
Precisely. And when you break a number down into the sum of all those place values, that's what we call its expanded form. It stretches the number out.
Can you give an example? Maybe a bigger one using the Indian system.
Okay, let's take 7,045,062,889.1. In expanded form, that's 7 crores, which is 7,000, plus 40 lakhs, 40,000, yes, 5 lakhs, 5,000, plus 60,000, plus 2,000, 2,000, plus 800, plus 90, plus 1.
Wow. Okay, laying it all out like that really shows you the contribution of each digit.
It really does. It demystifies the number in a way.
So if you understand place value, then comparing and ordering these big numbers should be, well, logical,
right? It becomes much more straightforward, yeah. There's a simple rule, really.
Which is?
More digits always means a bigger number. A 7-digit number is always bigger than a 6-digit number. Always.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
But what if they have the same number of digits?
Then you just compare them digit by digit, starting from the very left. You move right until you find a place where the digits are different. The number with the bigger digit in that spot is the larger number.
Right. Let's try one. Say 5,067,089,123 compared to 5,067,079,123.
Okay. So starting from the left.
Fives are the same. Sixes are the same. Sevens are the same.
Ah.
The next digit is 8 in the first number and 7 in the second.
Exactly. And since 8 is bigger than 7, the first number, 5,067,089,123, is the larger one. You don't even need to look at the rest of the digits.
Got it. Simple when you break it down.
And this isn't just, you know, a math class exercise. Being able to quickly read, compare, and even jot down large numbers you hear in the news or see in a financial report, that's a vital life skill. It's real math, real life.
Absolutely. Think about data sorting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding digit placement is fundamental there. Okay, shifting gears a bit. Sometimes we don't need the exact number down to the last digit, do we? Like you hear around 50,000 people were at the festival, not 51,287 people.
Exactly. And that brings us to a super useful tool, estimation and rounding, making numbers simpler, easier to work with when precision isn't the top priority.
So how do the rounding rules work, especially with these bigger numbers?
Well, the basic rounding rules are the same ones you probably learned before. First, you identify the place value you want to round to, like the nearest 10 or 100 or million.
Okay, pick your target place.
Right. Then you look at the digit immediately to its right. That's the decider.
The one next door.
Yep. If that digit is 5 or more, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, you round up. That means you increase the digit in your target place by 1, and all the digits to its right become zeros.
Round up if it's 5 or higher. Got it. And if it's less than 5?
If it's less than 5, so 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4, you round down. Which just means you keep the digit in your target place the same, and again, all the digits to its right become zeros.
Okay. Can we try an example? Like 3,075,486 rounded to the nearest 10.
Sure. The 8 is in the tens place. The digit to its right is 6, 5.
Which is 5 or more. So we round up.
Right. The 8 foot becomes a 9 and the 6 foot becomes a 0. So 3,075,490.
Okay. Now, what about a really big one? Say 45,678,123 rounded to the nearest million.
Okay. The millions place has the 5 foot. The digit to its right is 6 foot.
6 again. So round up.
Yep. The 5 foot in the millions place bumps up to a 6 foot. Everything after it becomes 0. So 46,000. 46 million.
See, that makes it much easier to digest quickly. 46 million versus 45,678,000, you know.
That's the whole point. It gives you the essential magnitude without the clutter.
But it's interesting how rounding up versus rounding down isn't just a math rule. It really depends on the situation, right? Like the consequences of rounding.
Oh, absolutely. Context is everything. Think about ordering supplies.
Yeah, like if you need, say, 732 flyers for an event, but they only come in packs of 50, you can't round down.
No way. You'd round 732 up to the nearest 50, which means you'd actually figure out how many packs you need. 732 divided by 50 is 14 point something. So you need 15 packs to have enough. You deliberately overestimate slightly.
Right. You have to round up to ensure you meet the minimum requirement, but then maybe with budgeting.
It can be the opposite. If you have, say, roughly 500 rupees and something costs 470, you might mentally round your remaining cash down to maybe 400 or 450 just to be cautious, to give yourself a buffer.
So you don't accidentally overspend.
Yeah.
It's the same math, but a totally different strategy based on the goal.
Exactly. And this idea of estimation is crucial for checking if your detailed calculations are even plausible. That's checking reasonableness.
Using that wavy equal sign, the S symbol.
That's the one, meaning approximately equal to. It's a good sanity check. But speaking of potential issues, we should pause and think about it. When can rounding actually cause problems, like significant errors?
Maybe when you round numbers before doing calculations with them, especially multiplication.
That's a big one. Let's say you need to multiply 487 by 19.
Go.
If you round them first to, say, 520.
Then 500 times 20 is 10,000. Easy estimate.
Right. But the exact answer for 487 times 19 is actually 9,253.
Oh, wow. That's quite a difference. Over 700 off.
It is. The percentage error can get pretty large, especially if you're multiplying several rounded numbers. So rounding is great for a quick check or a rough idea, but you have to be careful when using rounded numbers in further calculations, especially multiplication or division. The order matters. Multiply first, then round is usually more accurate.
Good point. So rounding is a tool. Use it wisely. Okay, we've got the systems, place value, comparing, rounding. What about actually doing math with these giants?
Yeah.
Adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing numbers in the millions or crores. Does it get fundamentally different?
You know, conceptually, not really. The core principles of addition and subtraction are exactly the same. You line up the numbers by place value, ones under ones, tens under tens, and so on. And you add or subtract column by column, regrouping, carrying over or borrowing, just like you always have.
So it's the same process, just longer.
Yeah.
More columns?
Pretty much. The main challenge is just keeping things aligned and being careful with the regrouping over many digits. That's where neatness counts. And where maybe doing that quick estimation first really helps catch any big slip-ups.
Right. That sanity check again. What about multiplying and dividing by powers of 10? Like 100 or 1,000? That feels like it should be easier.
Oh, that definitely is easier. Multiplying by powers of 10, like 10, 100, 100, just means adding the corresponding number of zeros to the right end of your number. Mm-hmm. So multiply 4,056,000 by 100, just tack on two zeros, 4,056,000.
Simple. And division?
Division by powers of 10 is the reverse. You just remove zeros from the right end, divide 4,056,000 by 100, knock off two zeros, you're back to 4,056,000.
Nice. Okay, but for more complex multiplication or division, that estimating the outcome beforehand seems really crucial, doesn't it?
Absolutely essential, I'd say. Before you launch into a big multiplication, get a rough idea. Remember that example? 4,087,650 times 19.
Yeah, we estimated it by doing 5,000,000 times 20.
Which gave us 1,000,000. Or 1 crore, a nice round number. Then when you do the exact math and get 92,065,350.
You know you're in the right ballpark. 9.2 million is pretty close to 10 million. It tells you you probably didn't make a major error, like missing a zero somewhere.
Exactly. It builds confidence in your detailed answer.
Now, I hear there's some neat multiplication shortcuts and patterns, too. Things that can speed up calculations.
Oh, yeah. There are some fun ones. Little mathematical tricks, like multiplying any number by 5.
Yeah.
Just multiply by 10, add a zero, and then divide the result by 2. Have it. Much faster sometimes than doing long multiplication by 5.
Okay, times 10, divide by 2. Cool. What else?
Multiplying by 25, similar idea. Multiply by 100, add 2 zeros, then divide by 4.
Because 100 divided by 4 is 25. Makes sense.
And for 125, multiply by 1,000, add 3 zeros, then divide by 8.
Times 1,000, divide by 8. Okay, those are handy. Any other interesting patterns?
Well, there's the pattern with multiplying numbers made only of ones, like 11 times 11 is 121, and 111 times 111 is 123.21.
Oh, right, the digits go up and then back down.
Exactly. And multiplying by numbers made only of nines has a trick, too. Like, 78 times 9, you can think of that as 78 times 10 minus 1.
So 78 times 10, which is 780,
mm-hmm.
minus 78 times 1, which is 78.
Right. 780 minus 78, which gives you 702, often easier than multiplying by 9 directly.
These are great little mental math tools.
They can definitely save time and effort.
And all these skills, understanding the systems, estimating, calculating, they really come together in real-world applications, don't they? Like those Fermi problems you mentioned.
Exactly. Fermi problems are all about making reasonable estimates for seemingly impossible questions, often user large numbers. Like how many buses do you need for 150,000 people?
Right. If a bus holds, say, 60 people, you'd estimate 150,000 divided by 60.
Which is roughly 2,500 buses. You get a sense of scale quickly. Or estimating travel time to the moon. If it's about 384,000 kilometers away, and your spacecraft goes at maybe 8,000 kilometers per hour?
You divide 384,000 by 8,000. knock off the zeros. 384 divided by 8, 48. Around 50 hours.
Around 50 hours, exactly. See, estimation gets you there quickly. Scientists do this constantly when dealing with huge astronomical distances or tiny atomic scales where exact numbers aren't practical initially.
So it's about logical approximation.
It is. And these skills are fundamental for project planning, for budgeting huge sums, for making smart decisions when you don't have perfect data. It's about reasoned judgment in a complex world.
So we've really covered a lot of ground here, from understanding Indian and international number systems, getting comfortable with place value, comparing, ordering, and then diving into the practicalities of rounding, estimating, and actually calculating with these giant figures.
Yeah.
Plus those cool shortcuts.
Yeah, it's been a comprehensive tour. The goal was to equip you, the listener, to feel much more confident when you encounter these large numbers out in the wild.
And hopefully, less intimidated by them. It's amazing how breaking them down makes them manageable.
It really is. And as a final thought, something to mull over. We talked about billions, maybe even trillions. But think about a number called a Googolplex.
Googolplex? I've heard of a Google that's a 1 followed by 100 zeros, right?
Right. A huge number itself. But a Googolplex is a 1 followed by a Google zeros.
Wait. A 1 followed by a 1 followed by 100 zeros. Mm. Number of zeros.
Exactly. It's a number so mind-bogglingly enormous that you literally couldn't write it down in standard decimal form. There are fewer atoms in the entire observable universe than the number of digits required to write out a Googolplex.
That's impossible to even properly conceive of.
It really is. So what does the existence of concepts like that tell us about numbers themselves, about the vastness that exists even beyond our ability to write or maybe even fully comprehend? It pushes the limits, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. A truly mind-bending place to end. So the takeaway is, don't be afraid of large numbers. Use these tools, apply these concepts, whether you're reading the news, planning something big, or just curious about the world.
Right. Understanding scale, understanding magnitude, it's not just for mathematicians anymore. It's a key part of being truly well-informed today.
Keep exploring that amazing world of numbers around you.